In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our charge.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst. We just heard the parable of the man with his barns, who has so much wealth that he has to build bigger barns. He's very pleased with himself and his barns. He tells himself to take it easy and relax and enjoy himself. And God says unto him, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, whose things shall be then, which you've stored up for yourself. Your life's coming to an end. And the lesson that the Lord gives is, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Someone who lays up all his wealth for himself is not rich towards God. I suspect none of us thinks we have any great treasure in this life that we might be hoarding. We might be saving up some junk, but it's more of a mindset that Christ is challenging. And the church, by reading us this parable, thinks that we need to hear it at least once again each year at the liturgy, that we might be building bigger barns and storing up our earthly treasure and forgetting what life is about. Christianity, the Christian gospel, always says to us, look at everything. Look at everything. Don't just look at the barns. Don't just look at your material comforts in life. Look at the full reality of life. See that some people live a long time on this earth. Some come and go very quickly. What is your portion of this life? Do we know? The scriptures use this word portion in an interesting manner. Psalm 17 speaks of men whose portion in life is of the world. I think we read it at the hours. Men whose portion in life is of the world. Or to say it another way, men of the world who have their portion in this life. Basically, one could say men who put all their eggs in the basket of this life. That this is their portion. This is the treasure they want. This is the security and comfort that they seek, whatever this life can provide for itself, which is the definition of worldliness, of a worldly attitude. Then there's Psalm 142, we read at Vespers, where it says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. So that psalm tells God that he is our portion, that the Lord can be one's portion instead of this life's portions. So what do you want to get out of this life? Is the question today, and the Christian answer is God. God. God is what I want to get out of this life. That's what I should want to get. I can't take anything else with me. I'll get a suit of clothes and a box. Can't take anything else with me, but I can take God with me. I can take God with me. If I unite to God in this life, I can have God with me in the next. We all want some level of accomplishment or even success in this life for our children, for them to have a healthy portion. And no one can easily say, I'd like my children to be poor, uneducated, and struggling, you know, and to make French fries and wear a funny hat. And it's a fact that genuine Christians have always been productive, hardworking, and members of every society and culture. Even when the Muslims conquered the Christian East, they used many of the Christian people. The Christians were the ones that knew how things worked, and they would put them in great positions of responsibility and of prominence in Muslim society, because the Christians took education seriously. They took their responsibilities and their work seriously in this life. So it's not about just putting your head in the clouds and forgetting everything, but it's about remembering which portion and how that balances. Psalm 37 of the scripture says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. But the question remains for our children also, how can they get to God? How can they have God, to have God as their portion? The sixth chapter of John, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the disciples and speaks to all of us. He says, labor not for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. We are here this morning for the food which endures to eternal life. The goal of this service of the Divine Liturgy is the Holy Eucharist, to receive the bread from heaven. Everything in this life leads us to this food for which there are no barns. There are no barns for this food. There is preparation. There is a work to be done in order to receive this food. But we get so caught up in the eat, drink, and be merry of this worldly life that we're not able to be prepared to receive this food. When we're distracted to sin by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The man with the barns had that pride of life. Look at my barns, he says. And the world says to us, look at me, but don't look past me. Don't look past me. Look at me, look at the world. Do not look at Christ's promises. Do not look at the cemetery for too long. Look instead at these treasures. Look at that house. Look at that neighborhood. Look at that car. Look at that dress. Look at that body. Look at that face. Look at that food. Look at that great life they must have. That's the good life. It is said that for Adam in the fall into sin, that the apple simply represented something else. Something else. Something else besides God. That it was the desire for something else to please him, to satisfy him, to fulfill his longing that only God could fulfill. So it was a misdirected desire. He wanted something else from this world instead of God. And so do we too often. But brothers and sisters, for us the question is now, can we want something besides what the world has to offer? Or is the world all we need? Is our portion in life of this world, is that our portion? In the very next verse from Luke 12, following our parable of the rich man in the barns, the Lord says this to us, as he once said to a struggling seminarian worried about his future and how he would be able to survive as a priest. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, nor for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are ye better than the birds? And which of you, with taking thought, can add one stature, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? O ye of little faith. And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In fact, brothers and sisters, we read in Deuteronomy that we are the Lord's portion. Literally, the Lord's portion is his people. Imagine that. We are God's riches and wealth. He chooses us to be his riches and wealth, the apple of his eye. It is a fearful thought that God thinks so much of us, and we think so little of him, and are so preoccupied with everything else except the kingdom. From Galatians we read, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Finally, from St. Cyprian of Carthage in the 3rd century, he says, Here on earth, life is either kept or lost. Here on earth, life is either kept or lost. Here on earth, by the worship of God and by the fruit of faith, provision is made for eternal salvation. Let no one be kept back, either by his sins or by his years, from coming to obtain salvation. To those who still remain in the world, there is no repentance that is not too late. There's no change of heart that cannot take place. There's no change of vision from the barns, from the glitter and glory of this life, to the glory of the eternal kingdom of our Father in heaven, and of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.